heart is overwhelmed this morning. That's great. Yeah, amen. Wonderful servant of the Lord Most High, our president of the Christian Missionary Alliance, John Stumble. He weeps a lot, but I try to keep up with him. I really do. I try to keep up with him. Could not help but think this morning how blessed we are that we can gather together on Christmas morning. Together. We can be together. How wonderful is that? Let me tell you, I want to remind you how wonderful it is. When I look out upon our congregation, I see miracles. Because God has worked in your lives. Miracles. Miracles. Maybe they're little miracles. Little itty-bitty ones. But they're big to us. Or maybe they're big miracles. And I look out and see how good God is. Man, he's so good. He hears our prayers. He puts up with our complaints and our whining and our criticisms. Like the little kids who go out into the fields and get dirty and muddy. We come back in and he washes us up clean so we can dine and have fellowship with him because he loves us so. He's so good. It was a miracle for my family to be here. Oh, 10, 11 years ago in 2012. Never would have dreamed. Because many of you know, I tried to come in 1986 or 87 as pastor. And it wasn't supposed to be. And the Lord knew that. He knew that I had some growing up to do. And as some of the kind folks who were there then and are here now said, well, we had some growing up to do as well. But so grateful to God for allowing us to be here. And then I look out and I see, I'm going to brag on them, the Sadek family. And man, I just fell in love with them in 2021 or 22. And Christian called me up and he was short terms director. And he was at Palm Beach Atlantic. And he said, I just want to get together and bounce things off you over coffee. Couldn't resist that. Fell in love with him and his family. Had to come to our church down in South Florida. They shared a music, and I'm going, oh man, Lord, bring them here. And God had called them to China on the other side of the world. But we stayed in touch, and look what God has done. Man, he's good. He's so good. He's so good. And each one of us, if we went around today, we could probably testify how good he is, isn't he? He's given you family. Yeah, there are those cousins and nephews and nieces or uncles or aunts or relatives or brothers or sisters or moms and dads or stepdads or stepdads that you just don't want to deal with. But God has given you grace and given you supernatural ability if you know him. And love him because he's so good. Well, that's all free. We have been traveling together in a series called Celebrating Christmas, the gift, God's gift. And we've looked together at God's reason for the gift. It's because he is love. And he loves you immensely. He really does. And we've looked at God's recipient. And his recipient is you and me, the world, whoever believes in him. We've seen God's release, that part of his character, not only is he loving, but he is generous. He's a giving God. He gives continually. He really does. He holds all things together. He is generous. And then we've looked at his beautiful gift of his one and only Son, Jesus, the Redeemer. Wow, the Redeemer. Jesus. Oh, to catch a glimpse of him, your life will be changed forever. If you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, wow, you'll be able to run the race that he set for you with perseverance and strength and patience and grace to run, to walk and not grow weary. He's a beautiful redeemer. And this morning we are going to conclude with God's redemption. God's redemption. And we're going to look at that verse together. And I'd like for all of us, as been our custom, to say it together. John 3:16. So let's read it together this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's redemption, we're focusing on that last phrase this morning. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Wow, his redemption. Don't know if you ever, some of you may recall this, some of you have no idea what I'm going to talk about right now because you weren't around then. But back in the day when I was growing up, there was a company, and if you went to certain stores, as you purchased your items, they would give you these little stamps. They were green stamps. They were called S and H green stamps. And I soon discovered, wow, I want to collect those stamps because I can put them in a book. And if I put them in a book and I fill the book up, then I can go to a certain store and redeem them and get whatever I want. I believe, if I remember correctly, I had saved a bunch of them, enough for a bicycle. And man, we went to the store and I turned all the stamps in and I was able to get a bicycle. I was so thrilled. S&H green stamps, they're not around anymore. They started in 1896 and went through the 1980s, but they're not around anymore. So if you've collected some of those stamps and you find them, I'm sorry, they're worthless. You can't redeem them. There's something beautiful about redemption, especially God's redemption, that is much better, greater, lasting forever than S&H green stamps. His redemption. And his redemption is really based on a one-time event. Christ being born, yes, but he came to seek and to save the lost, to die on the cross and rise again, defeating death and hell, and offering the gift, think about it for a moment, the gift of eternal life, the gift of everlasting life. There was a young man that came to Jesus. He was, some scholars say he was a rich young ruler. He was a prominent, maybe religious leader. But he asked Jesus this question in Matthew 19:16. He said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? What must I do to be saved?" And you know the story there in Matthew. He went through the list. He might have had all his spiritual S&H green stamps ready to give to Jesus. Jesus says, "No, they're not good here. One thing you lack, sell everything you have and give to the poor." Now, was Jesus saying, oh, to be rich was wrong? No, it was where the man's heart was. He loved his riches. He loved his wealth more than anything else in the world, more than God himself. And when Christ challenged him, "Well, if you love me, then go sell all this. Come follow me." Can you imagine Jesus coming to you and say, "Listen, I want you to follow me. But before you do, you got to go do this one thing. Would you be brave enough to do it? Would you be courageous enough to do it? Would you be willing to let go and sacrifice? Let go and let God. Would you say, yes, Lord, I'll go and gladly do this one thing so that I may come and follow you? Could you imagine what it would be like, one of his 12 disciples, to follow Jesus, to be with him around the fire at night, to be with him in the morning, during the day, to walk with him, to listen to him, to question him, and yes, to be corrected by him, to be challenged by him, to be totally accepted by him. And guess what? Here's the good news. If you know Christ this morning, you are totally accepted by him. Amen. So as I look at this verse, I notice, you know, the context is that Nicodemus came to Jesus personally. He came, and as he came, he could have sent one of his assistants, but he wanted to find out a little bit more about who this Jesus is. And he was afraid of his peers, the Pharisees. What would they say to his visit? So he came in the dark, after dark, and then he understood a little bit later on in John 7 what Jesus was, who he was, truly the Messiah. He spoke up boldly for him. One commentator said, like Nicodemus, we must examine Jesus for ourselves. Others cannot do it for us. Then if we believe he is who he says, we will want to speak up for him. Because God is love. He loved the world so much, you and me, all humanity, that he gave, because he is a generous giving God. He gave his one and only Son, the exact representation of himself, Jesus is, that whoever believes in him, whoever receives Christ is by an act of faith, will not perish, will not die, but have eternal life, live forever with Christ. When I look at this verse, I see God's redemption is received, first of all, by faith in Jesus Christ. By faith. That word believes in him. If you were a missionary and was going across the ocean and getting introduced to a new culture, you would have to learn a language. And you would have to study that language and try to find out, what are those people saying to me? And what am I saying? Where can I go? You know, and I mean, some people today have Google Translate, and I've used that at times trying to understand Spanish and so forth, or French. But I know some of our folks this morning, like Christian and Ashley, can speak another language. I know that Daniel and Grace got introduced to Arabic a little bit, and they can speak, but there's a challenge there. When we look into the Word of God, we know that the translations, they're wonderful. But we go to the Greek, and we're going to look at a few Greek words this morning. The first one is this word, believe. It's pistuio. Pistuio. It means to believe, to give credit to have a mental persuasion, to be of opinion, to entrust, to commit to the charge or power of. So it's, I'm having faith in someone with respect to a person or a thing. So in other words, when Jesus says, he who believes in me, it means I'm having faith in him, I'm trusting in him, I'm counting on him, I'm believing in him. I'm committing myself to him. A little bit later in John, Jesus said these words, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up the last day. Jesus says that. Okay? Jesus says that. If you look to him and believe in him, God will raise you up with Christ on the last day. Oh, that is good news. That is better than taking your stamps and getting a new bicycle that wears out. It is good news that lasts forever. What a present. Praise his name. Secondly, I see that God's redemption is accomplished in Jesus Christ. Notice the two words, in him. Whoever believes in him. We are putting our faith and trust in God's one and only Son. We're not putting our faith and trust into a religious system. We're not putting our faith into a set of rules. We're not of do's and don'ts. We are putting our faith in him. In him. Paul told the Ephesians when he wrote them his letter, he said, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In him. Wow, we have forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness. All our past sins, all our present sins, all our future sins are forgiven. We don't go on sinning that grace may abound, Paul said to the Romans. No, because we love him. We follow him. We gladly obey him. Even if it's hard, we gladly obey him. But because of what he's done on the cross through his shed blood, there is forgiveness according to the riches of his grace. Christ is so rich, we don't have any idea. But his grace keeps being poured out because he is longing for all whoever believes in him. It's not faith in faith. It's not faith in a system. It's not faith in rules. It's not faith in my moral behavior or lack thereof. It's faith in Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God, who died on the cross for you and for me. I've placed my trust in him. I'm acknowledging, yes, Lord, you are the one who took my place on the cross. You paid the penalty in full for all of my sin. And because of that, I have received you into my life, and I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed. That's why Paul could say, he said, I'm the least of the sinners. I'm the worst of them all. I am just the worst of them all. And then a little bit later, what does he do? He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The worst of the sinners, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because of the redeeming power of God at work in through his life. Hallelujah. Believers, we should praise God because he redeems us. Redemption indicates liberation from slavery or captivity through paying a ransom. The Old Testament describes both the release of slaves from bondage and the deliverance of God's people from slavery in Egypt. But our redemption includes the forgiveness of sins, which was made effectual through Christ's blood. Blood is a shorthand way of speaking of Christ's sacrificial and atoning death. God's plan to accomplish redemption through his Son is no longer a mystery, but has been made known. And this mystery is a divine reality that was hidden, but is now revealed. And this is the plan of God, that we would experience everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans says this. Paul wrote to them, he says, this righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all and upon all who believe, for there is no distinction. Let's just stop there. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all and upon all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption. In the Greek, that word is apolytrosis. It means deliverance, procured by the payment of a ransom. God is the author of this plan of redemption. It's deliverance. 1 Corinthians 1:30 speaks about this. Is because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The hymn writer says, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I also see, thirdly, that God's redemption saves one from perishing. Should not perish. Another Greek word, perish, apolamai, perish, to destroy. It means to kill by taking a life, to cause to lose, to die or perish. Violence and strife is often associated with the meaning of this word. It's referred to throughout Scripture as lose, lost, perish, destroyed, destroy, kill, loses, perishing, drown, ruined, bring to end, death, having executed, spoils, vanished, wasted. So, if I refuse to believe in God's one and only Son, I refuse the redemption, the gift of redemption, the alternative is perishing, vanishing, being wasted, ruined, die, destroyed utterly, to bring to naught, to be deprived, to be put to death, to be lost. And that's not God's intention. That's not God's desire. Jesus said, I am willing to come and give my life as a ransom for many. I have come to seek and to save the lost. Luke says, no, I tell you. Jesus said these words, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So there's this idea of repentance that's involved in receiving the gift of redemption. In other words, I am saying to God, I agree with you that I am a sinner and I am lost and I'm in need of a Savior, someone to redeem me, to pay the ransom in full. I recognize that Jesus has paid it in full for me. And I come and acknowledge that. That's confession. I agree. I no longer will go my own way. No longer will I live my life following anything else. I want to follow Jesus. And so I turn away from my sin and toward God and His righteousness, allowing His Spirit to fill me, to help me, to be a conqueror. So I will not perish, but have the gift of eternal life. And let me tell you, God is not an Indian giver. He doesn't give a gift and say, since you haven't really used it, I'm going to take it away. No. He is longing to work in your life, both His will and His pleasure, His goodwill and His pleasure to accomplish His purpose, to glorify His Son in and through you. Yes, it is possible. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. God wants to glorify His Son Jesus in and through your life, through your thoughts and through your actions. God's redemption also, fourthly, provides everlasting life for all who believe, but have eternal life. That means forever. Forever. How long is forever? It's forever. This is just a momentary, we're pilgrims. We're just passing through. We're just going through. But we have all eternity to be together with. We have all eternity to be together with. Now, I hope that excites you. I hope so, because it excites me. I get to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I get to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I get to be with my Jesus, who gave everything for me so I could be set free from the chains of sin and be accepted by God and be free, but also be His. And I get to be with Him forever. Forever. Wow, eternal life, everlasting life. So what I do here, yes, counts. It does. It counts. How does it count? Because I'm really, and you are, if you're a believer, you're God's missionary here. You're Christ's ambassador here. Wherever you go, you are to give the fragrance of Jesus. The fragrance of Jesus. We have these beautiful poinsettias up here. We've had many people come and say, oh, Pastor, I can't sit in the sanctuary with those. And I say, why? Well, I'm allergic to those. And I say, well, have you checked them out? And they said, well, no, but I'm allergic to it. I said, well, they're artificial. Right? The fragrance. What fragrance are you giving off in your life? Are you giving off a fragrance that is like, oh my? Or are you giving a fragrance of Jesus Christ where people say, oh my? We are to be the fragrance of Christ to those around us, God's ambassador, his missionary, because he's given us everlasting life. This Greek word, life, is Zoe, Z-O-E, Zoe. It's living existence. It's deliverance from the penalty of sin. It is the final life of the redeemed. It is the source of spiritual life. Zoe. In Acts 17:25, it says that Christ is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Jesus said, I am the living bread, life, that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Romans 5:18 says, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. Life, Zoe, everlasting life. Colossians, Paul wrote to them, and he said this, when Christ, who is your life, appears, your Zoe, then also you will appear with him in glory. What a promise. Memorize that verse. If you're a child of his, guess what? He's given you the gift of redemption. He's given you life everlasting, eternal life, eternal life. And no matter how hard life gets here as a pilgrim, the enemy comes along and he wants to steal your joy. He wants you to doubt Christ's presence. He wants you to feel defeated, depressed, discouraged. Oh, listen, you're a child of the Most High God, and God has paid everything for you to be his. He's redeemed you, and he has given you everlasting life. Wow. What a gift. What a gift. Can I just say this? It's better than any iPhone. Better than any smartphone. Better than any tablet. Better than any computer. Better than any investment on Wall Street. Better than how much money you have or not have in your bank account. Better than whatever Christmas meal you're looking forward to this afternoon. His gift of his one and only son is so much better. Everlasting life. Praise his name. Jesus said to the sisters when he was grieving over Lazarus in John chapter 11, verse 25, he said to them, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. So this morning, the question is, what is God saying to you from this beautiful verse, John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Have you received his gift, Jesus Christ, as your Savior? And are you trusting in him, really trusting in him for your redemption? There's no way I can earn salvation on my own. I could go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. I could knock on doors through all the community. I could go and do all those things. But if I've never trusted in him as my Savior, it doesn't mean a thing. Because I can't earn my way into his presence. It's only because of God's gracious gift of love expressed to you. And we receive it by faith. Simple. We believe in him. The world has it all wrong. The world thinks that you got to join a religious organization, and then you have to join a political organization, and then you have to be outspoken about conservative or non-conservative issues, and you have to go protest and anti-protest or whatever. They missed the whole point. They missed the whole point. The point is that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus so that the world could be saved, redeemed. And it's by his Spirit that he cultivates in us Christ-likeness so that we can be the fragrance of Jesus to everyone around us. And God knows that often we don't get it right. But he also allowed Jesus to be tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin, so we could have a high priest, an ambassador, who understands our weaknesses and intercedes on our behalf. Isn't that beautiful? So when I do mess up, the Lord, and I come to him and say, Father, I messed up. The Lord says, it's okay, I've forgiven you of that. The Father has forgiven you. I've washed you clean by my shed blood. In Mark 1:15, it says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. Maybe this morning you have never received the gift of redemption, and it would be amiss if I didn't encourage you and invite you to receive the gift of redemption, especially on this beautiful day of Christmas. A simple prayer would be like this. Dear God, I admit that I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you for sending Jesus to suffer the punishment that I deserve for my sins. Please help me every day to turn from my sin and live a life that pleases you. Thank you for your gift of eternal life and for the hope I now have in you. In Jesus' name, amen. There's no magical formula in the prayer, but it is an expression of your heart, your will, your desire to follow him. To follow him. So if you were that rich young ruler and you came to Jesus and said, look, Lord, what must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus said, there's one thing. And he tells you that one thing. Then come and follow me. Would you lay it all down for him? I pray that you do and have and will. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to be in your house this morning, and we praise you for the gift of redemption, the gift of your one and only Son, who died on the cross for all of our sins, past, present, and future, and those who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And we pray for those who have not yet made that choice. Maybe they've been exposed, Lord, to your love in such an amazing, marvelous way, but somehow there's the hardness of their heart. And we pray, Lord, that you'll break up that hardness and that you will bring salvation that they may believe. Lord, there's some of us who are followers of you. We have received the gift of eternal life. We've received your Son into our life. We've received your Spirit into our life. But yet, through the busyness of being a pilgrim on this planet, the busyness, the schedules, we've been distracted. We've been caught up with so many other things that may have been good, but we haven't been caught up with you. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us today, this week, in the new year, to be caught up with you, to spend time with you, to seek you first and foremost, knowing that out of our relationship with you, the overflow of your love will spill out onto others. Keep working on us. Thank you for your grace, amazing as it is. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the baby born in Bethlehem that was raised and grew in favor with wisdom, with man and God. For the miracles that Jesus displayed on earth, for him giving his life as a ransom for many and rising again, and for the promise that he will return to those who have trusted in him as Savior and Lord. Thank you, Lord, for those who are trusting in you, for those who have even trusted in you now. Thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to build your church so the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we thank you. In Jesus' wonderful, glorious name, we pray. All God's people said, amen.